Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We've got an interesting show planned for you today. Later this hour, we'll be speaking with Harold Holzer, who's the author of the new book, The Presidents Versus the Press, about the long history of bad relations between presidents of the United States and the members of the media who cover him. But first, last week, more than two dozen members of the Illinois Legislative Black Caucus announced an agenda aimed at helping overcome centuries of racial injustice. For State Senator Kimberly Lightford, the chair of the Black Caucus, the new agenda is not only a legislative step toward racial equity and justice, but also a personal one. Here's a clip of her remarks last week at the news conference announcing the plan.
And we have an opportunity to leverage this unique moment in time to do good so that other Black women, Black mothers, and Black wives just like me can begin to experience peace, justice, and hope for our future, knowing that our children and our grandchildren will not share the same kind of life experiences that everyone in my generation and every generation before me have had to endure as Black Americans. That's why the Illinois Legislative Black Caucus is taking on the work. We're working to build a legislative agenda that addresses systemic racism and oppression here in our state.
Joining us now to discuss the Black Caucus's new agenda is State Senator L.G. Sims. He's from Chicago, the 17th District. He's a member of the Black Caucus and chairman of the Senate's Criminal Law Committee. Hello, Senator Sims. Welcome to the 21st.
Hey, Brian. Good morning. How are you?
Thanks I'm doing well. How are you?
Awesome.
Okay. Well, glad to hear it. Listeners, we want to invite you to join our conversation. Phone lines are open. The number is 800-222-9455. The number again is 800-222-9455. If you have questions about the Black Caucus's legislative agenda or any questions in general for Senator Sims, again, the number is 800-222-9455. You can always tweet us at 21st Show. So, Senator Sims, I want to begin. We heard there a little bit of tape from your colleague, Majority Leader Kim Lightford. Can you talk about why this agenda is important and why now?
Brian, thank you for the question. And the emotion that you heard and the passion that you heard in Leader Lightford's voice, it's an expression of the passion that all of us have, and all of us have in the years of experiences that we've had collectively as a community, as members of the, not just members of the General Assembly, but also members of the community. I would imagine that if you asked any one of the members of the caucus or any Black person that you've met, that there have been experiences that Leader Lightford was verbalizing, those experiences where they have been they've been profiled, or they've had negative experiences happen, they've been wrongfully detained. There are so many stories like that. And as you know, as you were replaying Leader Lightford's comments, I thought back to an interaction between my oldest daughter and an elderly woman as we toured the MLK Memorial in Washington, D.C. And the woman was crying. And as the woman cried, my oldest daughter went up to her and, you know, asked her, "Ma'am, why are you crying?" And she said, "I'm crying because I'm happy. I'm happy because you won't have to experience the challenges that I did." And, you know, in that moment, you heard from her that it is the same passion that Leader Lightford experience. These are, as you mentioned in the opening, years and years of struggle, leading to the progress where we have gotten to in this moment. But we still have so far to go, Brian. We have a long way to go, and that's why the Legislative Black Caucus came up with an agenda that covers, you know, a number of areas, and the areas sound general in nature, but the goals under each pillar of the agenda are very, they're nuanced and they're very specific.
Yeah,
but
well,
they will address the equity we're seeking.
And I want to ask you about those. So if we can start with pillar one, as you mentioned, there are four pillars. Pillar one is criminal justice reform, violence reduction, and police accountability. What needs to be done there? I mean, you have been involved in these efforts for a long time. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, you were on Governor Rauner's, the Roger Heaton Criminal Justice Reform Commission. I mean, there have been a lot of efforts in this regard. What else needs to be done in Illinois here?
We still have a long way to go. We know that for a black person in Illinois, they're six times more likely to be shot by law enforcement than their neighbors. They're five times more likely to be incarcerated than their neighbors. Oftentimes for nonviolent, what are start out in nonviolent offenses, but they turn violent very quickly. So we've got a long way to go to fix the systemic problems and issues and challenges that we have in the state. I'm very happy of the progress that we've made. As you mentioned, I've been working on this since my days in the Illinois House. I'm working to ensure that we have a criminal justice system that is fair, that incapacitates individuals who are threats to public safety or threats to themselves, but also it ensuring that you are not criminalized just because you're poor. We're finding, and that's one of the laws I passed was the Bail Reform Act of 2017, and that law made Illinois at the time the largest state to move away from a presumption of cash bail, and ensuring that you are not going to be incapacitated or incarcerated because you're poor, but or because you have a substance abuse challenge, or because you have a mental health challenge, but because you are incarcerated because you're a threat to public safety. And with making sure that we are getting individuals the services that they need to address their mental health challenges, to address their substance abuse issues, and improve, that's how we're going to improve our public safety. We're going to improve our public safety by addressing the root challenges that exist in our communities. When you have individuals who don't have opportunities, that's why you have the other pillars are, you know, education and workforce development, so that we are developing individuals to go into the workforce and be prepared for the jobs that present themselves, but also to create new opportunities. Then you've got an educational achievement gap that we are trying to reduce and eliminate, because you still have children who the education achievement is dictated by their zip code, which just should not be. And you also have economic access and equity and opportunity, where, you know, for every $1 that a white family earns in Illinois, a black family earns 59 cents. That wealth disparity is just not sustainable if we're going to have a community where we're all working towards the same goals. Then we've got healthcare and human services. There are some zip codes where the life expectancy, and you could just go a couple of miles, and the life expectancy is 10 to 12 years less than their neighbors just miles away. Again, just should not be. These are systemic problems that, as a caucus, we have been fighting for years. But at this moment, things are coming to a head, and individuals are seeing that the issues that we have been bringing to bear for a long time, they're not hyperbole. They're based on facts. They are based on data, and people can see them. And now you are seeing the continued examples of instances where there have been challenges where individuals have been killed over and over again. And even since the George Floyd incident, you still have other cases. Breonna Taylor and Daniel Prude. It's over and over again. We have got to do better. And that's what the Illinois Legislative Black Caucus is focused on.
If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with State Senator L.G. Sims, who is a member of the Black Caucus and chairman of the Senate Criminal Law Committee, among other committee assignments. He's also vice chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee. I want to ask on the question of criminal justice, and you were talking a little earlier about what prison is for, and there's this idea out there. John Mackey, who used to be the head, no relation, who used to be the head of the John Howard Association, used to have this line that prison should be for the people you're afraid of, not the ones you're mad at. And you have seen steps toward that, reduced use of prison in Illinois. And yet there is pushback this year, as we have seen mostly peaceful protests involving people, white people and black people coming together in a way that I think is different than we've seen in the recent past, at least with protests about police violence. But you also see pushback, certainly from the president, some Republican lawmakers. But even in Chicago, you've had the police chief and the mayor pushing back on some of the reformist moves that the state's attorney has done there. And do you see a unified Democratic front going forward on these questions? Because, as you know, some of the things that need to be done to really get to the root of criminal justice reform are going to require making some very hard choices about, people who do bad things. And maybe the question of do sentences need to be reduced? Do alternatives to prison need to be explored? But those are tough political votes, right?
Absolutely, Brian. And I think the reality is you saw from some of the challenges you mentioned, Mayor Lightfoot and Superintendent made some statements, and soon thereafter, they appeared at a press conference with State's Attorney Kim Fox, because they all understand that the goal is a system where individuals are safe in their communities and they have the opportunities. I often say that the safest communities are not the ones with the most police officers. They're the ones with the most resources. They have the best schools. Economic opportunities. They have health care. They don't necessarily have the most law enforcement officers. It's the ones that have the most resources, and that's really what this discussion is all about. The discussion that we're having is we want to make sure that we are increasing the investments in communities. The summer, we had the Illinois Legislative Black Caucus, in partnership with the Joint Black Caucus of Elected Officials, hosted days of action around the city of Chicago and around the state. So we had one on the south and west sides of the city. We had one in the south suburbs and in the west suburbs. There was also even a press conference and an event hosted out in Rockford with Representative West and some of the members of the Legislative Black Caucus who joined him out there. But to showcase that This is not an issue where we're talking about just locking up individuals, and we've gone down the mass incarceration rate route, and that route has led us to a place where we have locked people out of society and into conditions. And again, that's what the Legislative Black Caucus's agenda is about. It's tearing down those barriers that have been erected that keep people out of opportunities and get them back into being what our Constitution says, returning them to their fullest usefulness. Right, so we've got to have a focus on making sure that we don't just pass laws that sound good or make us think that we're safe, but laws that will have a measurable difference and make a measurable difference and impact on the public safety that we're all seeking. And we talked earlier about the work that I've done and we've done in the General Assembly, and our prison population is down. It's under 40,000 people for the first time in a long time. That's actually into the 30s. But the importance of that moment is understanding what happens when those individuals return, and more importantly, keeping them from going into the Illinois Department of Corrections in the first place? If we create opportunities that where they don't go into the Illinois Department of Corrections in the first place, that's when we're really doing our jobs.
You know, and we only have about a minute left in this segment. I don't know if you can stick around for a couple of minutes after the break.
Sure.
There's a couple more. Great. I appreciate it. There's a couple more things I want to ask you about, including, and we did get a question from a listener on Twitter. If you can, I don't know if you can take this in about 30 seconds, but in specifically on the question of you know what? I'm gonna hold off on that, and we'll
okay.
we'll put this after the break. So, let me just remind our listeners that if you want to join our conversation, you can call in at 800-222-9455. The number again is 800-222-9455. Like I said, we got a question on Twitter. It has to do with zoning and the idea of racial segregation being propagated through zoning. So we're going to put that question to State Senator L.G. Sims. He's a member of the Black Caucus, which has recently announced a four-pronged agenda aimed at addressing longstanding racial injustice and inequities in Illinois. More to come in this conversation after a short break. You're listening to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Stay with us. Welcome back to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey, and we are talking about the Illinois Legislative Black Caucus's four-pronged agenda aimed at helping overcome centuries of racial injustice. We're speaking with Illinois State Senator L.G. Sims, who is chairman of the Criminal Law Committee and a member of the Black Caucus. And before the break, I mentioned we had a tweet. There is a Twitter user who identifies as only Joe Califano Stan account, which I'm guessing is the, of course, as we would all know, the former Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare during the Carter administration. But he raises an important question. He says, zoning has been a significant vehicle of white economic supremacy and racial segregation. And so he would like us to ask you about, you know, is zoning part of this agenda? Is that something that is on the mind of the Black Caucus? Obviously, Chicago has a long history of redlining and racial segregation. So take that where you will, Senator.
Absolutely. And I appreciate the question. Yes, dealing with housing insecurity is foremost in part of our agenda and one of the pillars under economic access, equity, and opportunity. Brian, as you mentioned, Chicago has had a long history. I think according to the 2000 census, it was the fifth highest Black versus white segregation in the nation, and the 11th highest Latino versus white segregation in the nation. And it is completely unacceptable for us to continue down the path that we've been going. There's a saying that if you do the same thing, expecting a different result is the very definition of insanity. And we cannot continue to do the things that we have done in the past and continue to say that we are a forward-thinking country who is looking out for all of its citizens the same way. We have got to provide opportunities for all of our citizens to have the same quality of life that all of us enjoy. So yes, we will be dealing with and looking at redlining and housing issues and affordable housing options as part of our agenda, because it's necessary for when people have when they have a place to lay their head, then they're safe and they're comfortable in that place, then all of the other things can come into play and they can work through all the other issues. So I appreciate that question because it is central to what we're trying to accomplish.
I do also want to ask about, as you mentioned, a lot of these issues have been being worked on by you and other members of the Black Caucus for quite a long time now. But we have seen in other states, particularly on the question of police accountability, in the wake of, as you said, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and Blake and the other shootings we've had in recent months, this terrible summer, other states have acted more quickly. Some have even had emergency sessions. And Illinois, as you know, is a Democratic supermajority state, the supermajority control of the House and Senate. There's a Democratic governor. What do you think is taking so long on this? Would you have liked to have seen action even sooner?
I don't think it's taken long. I think it was the right approach. The joint caucus led by Senate Majority Leader Kimberly Lyford, and then Senator Christopher Belt in the Senate, and Camille Lilly in the House, Representative Camille Lilly in the House. We took our time, and we didn't just want to do something. We wanted to do the right things. We wanted to make sure that we had discussions about every issue, because as the questioner mentioned, there are items that if we were just to go down and address one part, you miss all the other important elements of the agenda. So that's why we wanted to make sure we culled our agenda down to four specific pillars, and then work strategically under each pillar so that we make sure we don't miss anything, because this is a moment that I'm hoping when we come out the other side of this, we have made significant progress. But we wanted to make sure we took our time, we got everything on the table. We then heard from experts. So as, in addition to the time we took, including in that, was we had a 4-day intensive retreat where we heard from experts in each one of these fields, whether it were criminal justice, economic development, healthcare, education, so that we could make sure that all parts of our agenda were covered. So yes, that's why we are shooting for the veto session. But we wanted to make sure that we had everything on the table, so we didn't just get back and get to a special session and not achieve everything that was on that agenda.
And we're almost out of time, but that is my last question. So the veto session, there's always talk, will veto session be canceled? Obviously, with a Democratic legislature and a Democratic governor and the limited session there was this year, there aren't actually a lot of vetoes to consider. But I mean, is the Black Caucus, and given the pandemic, people will be looking to keep their distance. Is the Black Caucus insisting on dealing with these issues in a veto session this year, this November?
We are looking forward to taking this action during the veto session, but we also understand that there are factors in place, i.e. the health factors. We have over 250,000 Illinoisans who've been infected by this insidious virus. We've lost almost 8,500 Illinois citizens to the virus. So we recognize that public health and safety must be foremost in our minds. Our intent is to take this up during the veto session. So that's our plan. That's what we're shooting for.
State Senator L.G. Sims represents the 17th district. He's from Chicago. He's a member of the Black Caucus and chairman of the Senate Criminal Law Committee. Senator Sims, thank you for speaking with us and sharing your views on the 21st.
Brian, thank you so much for having me. It was always a pleasure.